good 3 months.
Yes. January with the snow, there was no plan. December had been delayed.
We passed on December.
We passed on December. Because of the 21st. Yeah.
First item on the agenda is election for the new chair and vice chair. Anyone have any nominations?
I told Lauren Wise that it was unwise not to be.
Send it up with rolls that way.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, it seems like you'd be the most.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. But I have quite a few things going on right now, and I just don't know that I could do a good job as chairman. Thank you. I'd like to nominate Daryl for chairman.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
And do it again. All right. Thank you. I appreciate your support and confidence. And we will open the floor for nominations for vice chair. Nominations for vice chair.
I'll
nominate Matt if he would be willing to serve as vice chair.
I'd be willing to do that.
Okay. Second.
Move the nomination, Susan.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second for Matt McNeely to serve as vice chair. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Okay. All right, so we've got new leadership. Keep us in your prayers. All right. I see no public here for comments. So
meeting was advertised and copies were sent to the transmitting times. You need to do something controversial.
we're giving them a break. Moving on into item number 4, approval of the agenda. Does anyone have any problems with the agenda, any modifications they want to make?
Staff has none.
Staff has none. Any members? None. All right, I open the floor for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. All right. Moving on to 5, approval of minutes from our last meeting, November 9th, 2017. You've had the minutes were emailed to us. Hope everybody had time to look over those. Do we have any corrections, changes, anything of that nature to the minutes from the November meeting?
Harold, since I was absent at that, I don't think we should have voted on that.
It would be appropriate for you to vote on it. It would probably not be appropriate for you to make a motion to approve.
Yeah, because I wasn't there.
If there are no changes, I'm opening the floor for motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve.
Motion, second. All right. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. All right. All right. Moving on to item 6, subdivision approvals and updates. Joy.
In January, without a quorum, we did not review the subdivisions and exemptions that were approved by staff. So we are looking back all the way to November 9th. So there are 2 pages to the subdivisions and the exemptions. In November and December of 2017, there were 19 exceptions. 1 2 lot subdivision and 2 existing parcel reviews. in January 1st to February 13th, there were 10 exceptions and 3 two-lot subdivisions.
Now, all of these exemptions and so forth, that's what's in these squares up here.
It is. And there are some exemptions that are required by state law.
All of these are.
Oh, yeah, because the state approved the exemptions to the definition of subdivision that we have in our subdivision ordinance.
Just trying to figure it out.
Is there any subdivision exception in the state mandate?
Yes. And so when Transylvania County crafted this ordinance and it was adopted by the county commissioners when it was first adopted, it then went to the state legislature. And the state legislature voted to allow Transylvania County to have these 9 exemptions. So there's actually state statute that allows us to have the 9 specific exemptions that are here. Not all counties have these. Some counties only have 4 that are typical. But these, it took an act of the legislature to get this.
Just out of curiosity, and this is just because I don't know, but there's a lot of 1.9s on here, which is changing the boundaries between adjoining properties. Mm-hmm. What's the typical cause of that? Somebody just decides, I mean, we're just making somebody property bigger, somebody smaller, or?
No, there's a real logical explanation for most of those.
Yeah, a lot of times it is that someone has a 10-acre parcel and their neighbor would like an extra acre or two.
Okay.
Sometimes it's because someone built their garage or barn just on the corner of the neighbor's property, not meaning to, and so they have to change the boundary line so that the whole property is on their own parcel. And so but most often it's just because of the first situation.
Okay. And then 1.1, we have seen most often, I would say 70% of the 1.1 that we have comes from Conestoga, where you have a property owner bought 2 lots, and they're never going to build, probably nobody will ever build on that second lot, and they're being taxed by the county, and then there's the association fee associated with that lot. So what they'll do is they will come in, and they will combine those, so there's now only, really the issue is the association.
Okay. Thanks.
The one that we're going to have to, at some point in time, the county really needs to go back and look at this exemption 1.6. That was not that we were going to get into a conversation about special subdivisions, but 1.6 was the only way the county commissioners could politically adopt the subdivision control ordinance in 91 when it was first looked at. And it was basically family members wanting to be able to create a subdivision for their family members without having to put in a road. And John Smart was chair, you probably remember John. Well, you were in Florida, but you would have known him by name. John Smart said, we've got to be able to do this. If we can't, then I can't pass it. So that is what that's about. And we're at a point now where people are abusing that. And so they're coming in and saying, well, I've got a family member, and they may, but it's in all likelihood, they're selling that lot. We have a form that we ask them to fill out and sign saying that it is for a family member. But we don't track it. We don't go back out to say what happened to that. At some point, that will need to be addressed.
For your knowledge, if it's an exception to the definition of subdivision, they don't have to meet road design criteria. And the road design criteria is set forth to ensure that there is safe access to any newly created lot by emergency vehicles. And so if you have more lots created, the road needs to be wider because there's more chance of an emergency vehicle meeting an oncoming car.
And that means all nine of these apply to that, what you're saying, right?
All nine can be built in, or can be subdivided anywhere with without regard to the road. They don't have to improve the road at all. It can be a dirt track wide enough for a dirt bike. Or it could be a nice 18-foot gravel road. All of them.
On the 1.6 family subdivision, did it specify, you know, the level of family members or just in general family members?
The way the actual ordinance reads, it says you can create one lot for every person that would inherit property if you died intestate. And so if you died without a will, who would be the typical people that would be able to inherit property? That would be your children, it could be parents, it could be siblings. That's what we're typically looking at. Typically, they're going to say it's their children. So you can create one lot. Let's say you have four kids. So you could create four lots, one for each child, plus one for yourself. So you could create five lots. No road standards apply at all. And that's where we're getting into, I think, the problem with some of these. Because you know that in 5, 10, certainly 20 years, in all likelihood, that piece of property that went to your son is no longer going to be owned by a family member. He's probably going to have sold it, or he's been in a divorce, his wife got it, and she doesn't want to live with you anymore around that same area, so she's going to sell it. So it really is no longer family, and that's what we need to be looking at in the future. Not suggesting we address this one at all.
Couldn't be a cousin or an uncle.
If the courts, I mean, if you could make an argument that that's who it would go to,
it must.
Yeah. Is there any?
So just about anybody.
As long as you're willing to sign that it's you understand that it's a family member.
See, what happens though? I mean, is there any way to retroactively go back and address that? If you had five lots on one track, and all of a sudden, you know, kids move away and they sell their lot, and now you've got
anything you can do. It's already been subdivided.
Yeah.
It's already been, where we have the ability to make a change is before somebody records their lot subdivision. That's where we can get in and say you need to make an improvement.
And Mark, it doesn't matter whether the land's given to them or whether their parents sell it to them.
That's right. Yeah, in that situation.
That does not require any action from us. This is information on the right. Any other questions on the subdivision approvals and updates? All right. We'll move on to item 7, old business, A, sign ordinance update.
Sign ordinance. County Commissioner, on Tuesday morning, approved. Can you read there? So he can witness that the county commissioners did positive comments. I mean, this is one of the, I think, with the way that the planning board has done this, with the way Joy has approached it, with Kaylin, and the interaction we've had with the public. I've never had an ordinance of that magnitude in terms of something to reach that had only positive feedback from everybody that we worked with. And so it was really a very positive piece. The county commissioners thought it was positive. The one change that did happen following the public hearing, and that change, we had 17.4 in there, which talked about nuisance signs. Remember, we can't talk about signs in terms of content. So just nuisance signs, signs that were in the right-of-way, within 12 feet. Did we have 12?
We had a small, temporary, illegal signs.
Yeah. The county attorney came back and said she was not comfortable with that provision in there for staff to be able to just go out, collect those signs, call the owner of the sign, email the owner of the sign with whatever information, and say you've got 10 to 15 days to pick it up, or we're going to toss it. She considered that to be taking property without due notice. And so on her advice, county manager, Julie and I came back and said, that's fine, take it out. That's not in there. DOT still has the ability to remove signs in their right-of-way. And so if there's a sign that we think is a junk little sign that doesn't need to be there, we'll contact DOT.
City of Brevard as well, right? Within the city limits. They practiced that, or they did.
Most communities do, and I think that you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Our attorney did not want to push that. That's fine.
There was a recent change in the general statute that she thought removed the capability of a local jurisdiction to do that. If we had defined it as a public nuisance, we could have used a different general statute, but it's uncomfortable.
Overall, if that's all that was changed, made a lot of progress.
No.
Okay. Well, along that line,
yes.
When I lived in another place, I worked for another company
in another time.
We got the legislature to declare putting of signs on power poles as a trespass.
Mm-hmm.
And we just turned that.
Duke Energy has the authority to turn them down. They can take them down.
And they are prohibited, as are the signs in the right of way, in CDOT right of way. They are prohibited in the sign ordinance.
We just don't have what we were hoping to have, is the ability to just go out and on a Friday afternoon just do a sweep of one area and get rid of all the we buy ugly houses or the Hughes net.
Exactly.
Anyway, county commissioners were very complimentary. I think that the process was one of the best processes that you as a board, and I know many of you weren't involved that much with it, but it was a really good process.
Now, does this apply to those political signs and all that?
So political sign is, remember, we've got to be content neutral. And I actually should have said this more clearly at the commissioner's meeting. So does it apply to any sign? The reality is, yes. If you still put a sign in the right-of-way, DOT right-of-way, it is not permitted. But as I explained to the county commissioners, I am not going to go pull up political signs prior to an election, and I'm probably not going to go pull up signs even 10 days after the election. I think state law requires that candidates remove their signs 10 days after the election. If they're not pulled up, I might, as a citizen, just go and pick them up and take them to whoever it is. But we can't differentiate HughesNet, we buy ugly homes, mm-hmm. from a county commissioner candidate putting their sign up.
Or a garage sale sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So from that aspect, it's more kind of a common sense. As it is, common sense thing.
It's common sense.
I already told my campaign manager, I said, we spent a lot of time on the sign wars, we're going to start buying yours. I'm going to give you a copy of this.
Excellent.
You don't want that thrown back in your face, right?
I think there might even be somebody that was very much involved in the development of this that may have to follow that, too.
All right. Any other questions on the update? Sign ordinance?
Just real quick, what were the public comments at the commissioner's meeting?
There were no comments this past Tuesday at the public hearing, the previous meeting. Sandy was there, Kinsey was there, Mac, you were there with the Boy Scout troop. We had individuals from the Cedar Mountain community, I think Jan Nickerson, John Gardner, what's John's last name? And then Carol Duggar spoke, and as they have throughout the entire process, very affirmative.
They didn't say one negative to me.
And there were no negative comments,
right?
Which kind of
they were very impressed.
one gentleman did stand up and made a comment about the City of Brevard's sign process, but...
You know who that is.
Right.
I mean, I think he does that just because he sees me stand up. He's got to have something negative, but he couldn't say it against us. And I was looking at the commissioners, and they're going, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
So
most anybody just... tried to get a sign in Brevard would like a place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand.
That's all we have on sign ordinance. We are now, we've actually been in process of enforcing for the last 6 months. We've got some other signs that we're working on, but this is really good. And with that, I don't have any more. Joy is going to lead on the Mountain Ridge unless you've got any other questions.
Any other questions on the sign ordinance? Okay. All right, let's move on.
Mountain Ridge Protection.
Something you can't see that can't be funded by this one. You've got everything. Yeah.
So, in your packet, you received a clean version of the Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance. That had a slight change in regards to the general statute that we mentioned that the county attorney was not comfortable with us using for signs. I wanted to make sure that any legal questions about tall structures built without a permit on a protected mountain ridge followed similar language as the sign control ordinance. And so that clean version that you were sent this month had a couple of those changes. And the typo that Kinsey pointed out at the last meeting, and then the 5 days versus 10 days. In the draft from January, once Planning Board made a decision either yay or nay for a permit of a tall structure on the protected mountain ridge, staff would have 5 days to send out a letter via certified mail. And with Planning Board meetings on Thursday and holidays potentially being around, we extended that to 10 days to make sure that the enforcement officer had enough time to gather the reasoning and send out a good, polished letter. Do you guys want to go through line by line of a red line version, or do you want to bring attention to a specific area? For the sign control ordinance, we went line by line, multiple times. And it's a way for you guys to really fully digest everything as a group and make sure that it makes sense and that it is complete and just. But we also have the option of going through sections.
We have a preference.
Other than what you outlined, I didn't see any changes. Couldn't identify any. I mean,
yeah.
From the last one.
No, and the January version, which is this red line version that I have up on the screen, is almost exactly what you had, except for those. Yeah.
5 to 10 day difference.
And the enforcement piece. Yeah.
Joy, you got that email I sent you about that typo on 10.3.
You got the version that I think I fixed before I mailed it out. So when you came to our office, I handed you a version, and I did get your email about that typo.
Okay. Mark, I remember.
Wait a minute. You mean to say you started doing this before you got sworn in?
And I'm glad to see that they talked about putting lights on some of these towers. Mark, you remember when they put that cell tower down by 280? Mm-hmm. There for a long time, there was no lights on that. That was right in Mama's flight path.
Yep. And then we had a letter from Mission Memorial and requesting that a variance be allowed for that. The Planning Board recommended that. The County Commission, I mean, we allowed for a light to be. We did not put a strobe light on, but a light on.
Yes.
I think one thing that is really important, we had somebody call today, earlier today, and he was confused slightly, probably as much confused by my comments previously, but on 2.6, that's probably one of the biggest changes in terms of what is actually being added, and it's being added. Remember, this ordinance was adopted originally in 82?
I believe 84.
84. All right.
Is that what it says on the back?
Actually, it looks like 12-12-83.
83.
We'll split the difference. And it was in response to Sugar Road and the condominium that was built up on top of Sugar Mountain, 10-story condominium. So the insert for 2.6 that somebody called and said, well, you're adding the 3,000 feet in elevation, and we are adding that, but the reality is state statute requires that 3,000 foot be in there, and that's one of the reasons why we're going back and looking at these ordinances to make sure that we are in compliance with statute. We had the 500 foot, and that's what the individual wanted, because when you add 500 and the 3,500, it actually reduces the number of bridges, total number of bridges, because that's a double criteria. And so that's probably the biggest change.
There are 117 ridges that are green. And I just looked at the map this afternoon. Green on the map that I originally showed you guys back in November were those ridges that are 500 feet above the valley floor, but are not 3,000 feet in elevation. The map that you have in front of you, those have been removed because we are not legally allowed to regulate them. But the list of ridges for Transylvania County includes 117 green ones that are only 500 feet above the valley floor.
So we're looking at anything between 500 and 3,000.
Negative.
I mean, see, that's why it's confusing.
Right. Okay. So you have to. There's two criteria. First criteria is the ridge above 3,000. All right. So that's your first criteria. 3,000 or higher is a protected ridge, and 500 foot difference to the valley floor. And there aren't that many, not as many, 3,000 foot ridges that have a 500 foot drop to the adjacent valley floor. That's what you've got to think about. And Joy has actually mapped all of these. And so you've got that, and you should have a copy as well. Does that make Does that make sense, Bob? Start with 3,000, and then you have to drop down 500 feet. Some areas in the county where you've got 3,000, you don't drop down, but maybe 200, 300 feet.
I can see why that would be confusing because, you know, most of our valley floors are not above 3,000.
The valley floor does not have to be above 3,000.
Top of the ridge.
Only the ridge.
The top of the ridge has
to
be above.
The valley floor would have to be 2,500 feet. Or
right.
Right.
Well, I mean, it could be less.
What?
It was 800 feet down to.
Right.
I don't think there's a whole lot of those either.
Well, the light bulb's coming on slowly. I'm just going to try to.
It's a dimmer switch, Bob.
No, it's more than a dimmer.
No, it was confusing to me too. I just finally, you know, went through the whole ordinance today, and when I got to that, I was thinking, okay, is that 3,000 feet above sea level? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, do you want to explain again where the 500? It's a, okay from the ridge top down 500 feet to the valley floor. It has to be.
There has to be that much difference.
That much difference.
Yeah. And so if the ridge is up at 3,000 and the valley floor is at 2,800, it's not considered a ridge top by statute. Not by us, but statute. And the reason being is, well, if you're at 2,800 feet looking up at 3,000, there's only 200 foot difference.
And it doesn't look that far.
No.
Right. But if you're 500 feet below, now you're looking up, and if you have a big tower, that's what I think they were trying to convey.
Okay, that makes more sense. Thank you.
There are some ridges that are long. Like this one here. This ridge here has multiple points along it that are a lot higher than other points along it, but the entire thing is above 3,000 feet in elevation. And so as one entity, even the lowest points are 500 feet above the valley floor. And it's a ridge that is long and not just a mountaintop. And then there's some that are short. Like this one.
So are these red or magenta ridges that were identified previously?
In the original
do they all still qualify?
Look at the list. They don't all still qualify.
And those were drawn by hand, which is, you would have, in 83, you probably got on this one.
Yeah. And yeah. So many of those are not. Five of them are less than 3,000 feet in elevation. Five of the 16.
So that's why the cell tower on Woodruff Mountain up there would not be. Up there to landfill would not be an issue, right?
Woodruff Mountain, right about here. In this area, there are no ridges that are above 3,000 feet and 500 feet above the valley floor. Yes. ...178 coming into Rodman. Frozen Creek there. So, Woodruff Mountain is no longer a protected mountain ridge because it does not meet the definition, because it's only 2,877 feet.
I'm just making sure I've got an understanding on it. If it was above 3,000, then that cell tower up there would have been an issue, would it?
It would have been, because cell towers are not exempt from the ordinance as defined by the planning board in November. And the cell tower, telecommunication tower ordinance prohibits cell towers from being on protected mountain ridges.
I don't need to ask too many questions, but I'm just trying to learn.
Can you tell me
which one of these this one is?
I can in an email.
Okay.
When I have my
Is it Wisp? No, that's not Wisp.
I don't see it on here. That's why.
So these guys, the way that I mapped the ones drawn by hand in 1984 was I found the protected mountain ridge on the USGS layer that was closest to the ridge identified in 1984. And so it was one point, not this whole line, in 1984, the way that they mapped it. But I can get you the name of that and the coordinates if you would like it.
So this list,
because I wouldn't think that any of this, especially near the road, is 500 feet to the valley floor.
And not all of the pink ones are protective. No, some of them are.
Daryl, you had a question.
This list was the protected mountain ridges formed 1984, right?
Three, right.
I put the wrong date on the top. Sorry, guys.
So we're saying those that are circled, there's five there, that are circled will no longer be under protection.
But you got the other list.
This list will.
I went through that list that I handed you guys, and I started getting coordinates after I mailed it out to you all. And I found that there are some ridges that needed to be added to that list. The way that list was generated was I took the 292 ridges that are protected in this county, and I removed those that are on protected land. However, that list did not include this one, because this whole line is a protected ridge, and it is on protected land. And so that list is going to have to change. However,
Cassie's Creek.
All of these will still be protected by the Pisgah National Forest. But this one here will be on the list just in case there is...
Scroll that up so Kimsey can see what
you're pointing
at. Okay. So she's pointing to the Cathy's Creek watershed. Yeah.
Okay. So, Cathy's Creek watershed. The city of Brevard pulls water out from about here.
Right.
And there's a protected watershed here that has private land in it. And there's a protected mountain ridge along one border of that watershed. However, there are points of it that are on private property. And so this was one that was not included in that list of 48. But just in case, because it meets the criteria of being 500 feet above the valley floor and over 3,000 feet, just in case someone right there would choose to put a cell tower on a protected mountain ridge, we want to be sure that we can identify it correctly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, the protected mountain ridge lines that you see came from a data layer from USGS. And so I did not calculate these. I am using them as a reputable source. They do not follow the parcel boundaries of the national forest or private property very well. And so where the ridge is broken up doesn't necessarily follow property boundaries.
This is an interesting conversation right now, and what I'm thinking is presentation to the county commissioners and maybe probably even having a public notice and inviting public here to you to listen and as the final draft before it goes to the commissioners. But in my mind, I'm thinking, how do we simplify and convey this to the county commissioners so that it's pretty clear what is and what's being proposed and why to change. I think Joy's done a really good job of mapping it. The difficulty with a map like this is when you scale it back down so you can look at the entire county, everything really gets kind of blurred. And so that's why I think it's great to have the television. She can zoom in, focus in on areas. And there's so much of the ridge tops that we have in the county. We have no control or jurisdiction over it all. So.
Yeah.
But if I recall correctly, this is just taking state law and putting it in Transylvania County.
That is exactly right.
It's protected regardless. It's not. We're not reaching out and taking a swath of property and saying, okay, this is protected. This is protected by the state ordinance already. We're just taking an ordinance that the state already has and saying this is how it applies to Transylvania County.
Correct. And that is exactly correct. The other big change is, and it was as you instructed as a board, you wanted this ordinance to look like our other ordinances. And
right.
So we have that in there now. We discussed that at the last meeting. And then the other thing is we have expanded the ridges because we are now, this ordinance was not written the way that it should have for a population of less than 50,000, which is where you come up with that 503,000 differential, and it should have been. And probably I should have looked at this a long time ago and said to planning board, even 20 years ago, we need to update this. It's not been a high priority either. It's not like we have a lot of issues with Mountain Ridge Top development.
Fortunately.
Have we had any? I was sitting here thinking, trying to remember if I see.
We've had a few structures up in the Toxaway area that go above 40, but they have not been issues. It's not been an issue.
Well, I guess like in Jackson County, all the cell towers on Toxaway Mountain got a variance.
I don't know how Jackson County did that.
But I mean, if their ordinance has to be the same,
well,
basically as ours,
it should be.
I mean, there's, it's like 4,800 feet high, and
but
the whole line of towers there.
When we reviewed Article 14, the North Carolina General Statutes that allowed local jurisdictions to create an ordinance such as this, they exempted cell towers from the general statute. And they called it a thin, slender structure, and it was an exemption to the definition of a tall structure. But with the telecommunication tower ordinance prohibiting cell towers on protected mountain ridges, the cell towers was not exempted from the definition of a tall structure in this ordinance, so that they actually match.
So Jackson County's ordinance could very well exempt.
It could very well exempt cell towers, exactly.
And it's not to say that a cell tower couldn't be built on a ridge.
They just have to have
a variance.
A variance.
A variance, yeah.
It would have to be a variance. And so what you would then have is a situation where you would be working with the cell tower or the manufacturer putting, installing that, and saying, rather than a lattice pole, three leg, we want a monopole, so that it's less obtrusive. But I think that you've got to, in that situation, you would be weighing the safety factor and economic development need of having towers versus the aesthetic. What this ordinance is really trying to address is if you build a 10-story condominium, how are you going to deal with the water pressure for fire protection, getting emergency vehicles up there? What are you going to do with all the waste? Where is that wastewater going to flow?
Right.
And so that's what this is really looking at.
And is it going to be built to withstand the winds that you get hit with more fiercely on top of the ridge?
So I think we as staff need to be thinking about how, and I'm going to make a recommendation a little bit later, how we present this to commissioners so that trying to anticipate questions based on the way that you've been asking to be able to lay it out a little bit more sequentially to them. I think we've talked about the number of ridges that now qualify. We've talked about changing the ordinance so that it is structurally the same as the other ordinances that we have. The other big change that we have is defining Dunn's Rock. And that was something that you as a board, we as staff, spent a fair amount of time trying to define what is Dunn's Rock, because it is, it's not just a rock. It's really a formation over an area, and Joy has both pictures of that, exactly, and then you have the definition here, because it is actually below 3,000 feet height. So,
but the original ordinance identified Dunn's Rock as a protected mountain ridge. They said, and including Dunn's Rock. Or with the addition of Dunn's Rock.
But you wouldn't know what Dunn's Rock is. I mean, other than literally the one outcropping. And so you as a board came back and said, help us understand what that area is. And Bob, this is where you were in the office last week. This is where I think you could add a lot of clarity. Does that make sense? Does the definition of Dunn's Rock make sense?
Well, I read through that on the red line copy. And for example, I know, well, like Castle Rock, I'm more familiar with that because Rock Brook Camp, mm-hmm. they have climbing routes on that for the campers. And so I've kind of flown around that rock and been used to that one, but Dunn's Rock, there's nothing behind it to mask it. When you're looking basically in that direction from 276, there's nothing behind it. So it's going to be a visible ridge no matter what you put on it. So, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Within the document itself, can we not define it the way it is and have this as an attachment?
There could be an attachment to that.
So you've got a visual and a written definition of what Dunn's Rock is. That would make it an appendix, I guess.
And Mark, I guess anybody could challenge it if they say, well, this is not, the wording is different from what the ordinance says, but it's an addendum.
Yes. And how would that? This is the only
oddball.
Yeah, this is,
that's a good question.
It's not protected by the state ordinance. Do we have the power from the state to say everything that falls within their ordinance and Dunn's Rock, we're going to define as a mountain?
Can you answer that?
I think my recollection of the general statute does allow for municipalities to identify specific ridges that they would like to protect in addition, but that's that can be a homework item.
Can somebody pull up 113A 2005 real quick?
One thing about the way this is described, every other ridge that falls under this ordinance is a line, and then the area affected,
113.
The area affected by the ordinance is from that ridge down 100 feet in elevation.
No.
Isn't that?
Yes.
So shouldn't we just draw a line on this map that follows the ridge as much as we want to have affected, and then say within 100 feet in elevation, just like every other? Does that make sense?
I did not hear all that, I'm sorry.
I think you need to hear it.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
Well, every other ridge that falls under the purview of this ordinance is defined as a line.
Right.
And the ordinance says that from that ridge down 100 feet in elevation is the area that this ordinance covers. And then we have this description, and we have a big square box or rectangular box that covers Dunn's Rock. Shouldn't we just have a line that goes along the ridge, and it falls under the exact same 100 foot in elevation rule? And I mean, we can draw the line to include as much of Dunn's Rock as we think it needs to be, and then it's consistently explained. And
I mean, it could be. I mean, that is a way of doing it. One of the thoughts that we had on this was, you remember when there was a tower that was being proposed on Dunn's Rock? Probably about 4 years, 5 years ago.
Been before my time.
Yeah, just slightly. And that community was up in arms. It was, I think, Matt Cantrell. It was his property. He was trying to put a tower on. The neighbors all got in a huff on that one. And what we're trying to do with this is, if it's within that boundary, then the tower ordinance would have to apply to this. And that tower ordinance says you could build one, but it's going to be subject to a variance request. And so you negotiate what that tower would look like. And that was based on the difficulty we had back then. Your point is spot on. I mean, everything else is a ridge. This just broadens the scope of that. That would be up to you as to whether or not you wanted to recommend it to the county commissioners. But that's why there is a broader area, so that there would be more area. If somebody did want to put a tower there, it wouldn't just be on top. They wouldn't be putting it on top of the ridge there. They probably would put it back behind or slightly below. And it's just trying to make sure that we have the ability to have some control over that.
And they could do that if they get a Mountain Ridge Protection permit and a variance from the telecommunication tower ordinance. So
the general statute you asked about defines protected mountain ridges as the elevation of 500 or more feet above the valley floor. And it says, however, a county or with a population of 50,000 or more may elect to eliminate the requirement of the elevation.
It doesn't go on to say down further that you...
So the question was,
can you add
something that is...
If you're 50,000 or more, you can get rid of the requirement for 3,000 feet and add whatever you want. If it doesn't...
Okay.
No, we weren't then. And
I'll double check and see if it's further down in the general statute and not in the definition of a protected mountain ridge, but we may not be allowed to include Dunn's Rock.
Which, and the reason why it's there is because it was already in the ordinance.
It was in the original.
In the original ordinance.
You know, if we wanted to make that as specific as possible, we could get the topo map with the contour intervals on 40-foot intervals. It'd pretty well be almost within plus or minus 20 feet of where that elevation is on the mountain.
That's right. I think we've got to do some research on this piece right here.
I'll go ahead. Let me go ahead and add if and when we find that. Let's add that general statute to this definition.
Exactly. In the current ordinance, it just says state law reference. It has it on it, but we just need to make sure that on the red line, it's on the red line. That's what you're asking for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just in case it's questioned or challenged, reference back to the general statute. It gives us the authority. It gives the county the authority. Or you can just start the definition by saying it doesn't meet the criteria general statute allows counties. Something like that.
Apparently you're looking for something we can defend.
Yes, correct. Yeah. That's exactly what I got in mind is if it's in here, we need to make sure it'll hold up against a lawsuit, because it's a matter of time.
So, Mac, we really haven't addressed your question. Is it a line or is it an area? And it was my belief that an area here better serves that particular ridge, given the proximity to town, given the view and the issues that you've had out there before. But that's going to be up to you as a board, whether it's a line or an area either defined like this, or as Bob just said, we go in with USGS and we use topographic lines, and we just marked it.
Well, I mean, personally, I would just generally be in favor of being as consistent as possible, and if we think we need more area, maybe we say within 150 feet, vertical feet of the ridge or whatever. But
that may, first we've got to see if we can include it, and then if we can, maybe what we do is it's the challenge. I think we have to define what that ridge is, and then as a right now we say 40.
Yeah, if we include both the Castle Rock and the Dunn's Rock as part of the Dunn's Rock formation, there is a valley, a holler between the two of them. So is the top of the holler protected, or is it just the top of Dunn's Rock?
Yeah, that's, if you look at Camp Rockbrook, you can see where that valley is that goes up right there.
That's that creek that comes down through the
Candle Creek, I believe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the elevation of that draw up there would be key.
You know, don't you have, though, I mean, and we define ridge as a crest at the apex, an intersection between two slopes and all, I get all that. But not everything fits into a nice little definition either. And so as long as it's allowed by statute, I don't see any reason why we could say, and, you know, protected ridges and this area here, because it's a formation, it's not really a ridge, but we want to protect it. I don't have a problem doing that, as long as it's allowable.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then it's easy to understand.
Yeah.
We don't have someone get a cell tower permit. They say they're on one side of the line. We say they're on the other side of the line.
And there's got to be some place.
It's never been surveyed. All we have is an aerial photo with a blue line drawn through it.
We can have this with the contour lines on it. That's how the blue line was drawn, was following contour lines. But it just made it busy to have all those contour lines, so we turned it off. But if it makes it better for legality perspective.
I mean, it's easy to take a surveyor out and figure out what's 100 feet in elevation difference from the top of the ridge.
So staff will go back and work on this, and we'll come back with the answers to the question on that next meeting. I think that we've covered most of the issues that we have. So with that, what I would like to propose is at the next meeting, we come back with revisions, particularly to Dunn's Rock, make sure that we're good with the statute. And then I'd also suggest that we just put an advertisement in the paper saying that you're going to seek public input, public comment on this, and then allow audience to be involved with it. And then you take any action that you need to, and if you approve it as a draft to go to commissioners, great. If we need to do more work, we do that. But I'd like to have at least an advertisement in the paper for the public. That's what we did with the sign control.
Do we want to go that far with it before we're more comfortable with some of the questions from the mountain?
That's up to you as a board.
That would be that'd be my only concern. I would prefer to wait until we've settled on a final ordinance, or at least amendments, and have that at a meeting where we have settled on it. We've defined Dunn's Rock. We know whether we can do that or not. We've answered the questions that we have here tonight. It's in the document, and then we notify the public and have them, anyone come talk to us if they want to before we send it on to commissioners. Does that make
it does sense? Either way. I guess I would.
We can go ahead and start the process. I understand that.
Yeah, I would just think. I can show be able to come
little
up
the sauces in May.
I think we could have everything that would be
okay
ready for you to discuss and be able to approve. My guess is nobody, one on this ordinance, nobody's going to show up.
Yeah.
And
you never
know. No, you don't. it's public comment, and it's, I think, a good way of you can staff And you, as chair, can go to the commissioners when you do present and say, we had the opportunity, we advertise it, staff advertise it, and I think you can, even if it's not 100%,
yeah.
So what you're doing, if your way, would actually take it to April.
Yeah, it would put it out. I'm okay with going ahead if everybody else is comfortable with that.
I mean, it's up to
you. But I don't know how much, it's back to how much do we want the public to see the sausage being made and arriving at a final a document, or do we want to have them come speak once we finalized it?
I would just say I thought the way it went with the signing ordinance was good, because we were going through some of that when they came and they heard some of the discussion, and that may have precluded some questions from them, because if they show up and then we have, here's the definition, here's what we can do, well, how'd you come up with that? Well, and then we got to go through it on again. I mean, these things are public, I don't have a problem here. Then they're, okay, we see you've done all your homework, and then maybe that settles down. And I don't know if you'll have that many people here anymore.
I don't think this will be a big turnout. People see sign control and they get worried about that. You might as well be having a junk ordinance or something like that.
That's
another one we saw at the courthouse one time.
Are you going to propose that?
No.
Okay.
We got a good thing going. But I feel like this is not going to get a lot of attention. I'm fine with going ahead if everybody else is. I really feel like we're, 98% there?
I think 95% there.
Yeah. Well, if you want to advertise it, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I'm fine with advertising it too, but I have one concern, I guess. Okay. And today at lunch, I walked by a paper in Cashers and saw Dr.
Lipsar's
picture on it. And so I picked it up and it's a Franklin paper. And when I got back to the office, I had an article over on page 15 that said Franklin Business's worry of proposed river district. Well, come to find out, Franklin has proposed a river district on the Coosa and the Little Tennessee Rivers. And we have a rental business on the banks of the Coosa River and a sand mine on the Little Tennessee River. This is the first I've heard of it. And fortunately, there was enough business owners there complaining that the commissioners tabled it. So I haven't even found out what the river district is yet.
So to our defense, we have not initiated that for the town of Roslyn yet.
Well, I understand that. But my concern is when you take this map and you take the old list of ridges, and there was 16 ridges, and we've decided five of those don't apply anymore. And now we have a list that's 47 ridges. And if people have bought property or if people have read this ordinance and they think that they can talk to a cell tower company at any time, and all of a sudden we've revised this ordinance and we've eliminated ridges, we've come up with 40 new ridges. And I wonder if we don't need to, once we get the map finalized, if we shouldn't notify the property owners of the new that will be effective.
I have a list of property owners that have protected mountain ridges on them.
Well, it's not a big change to us in the room, but if you own property, it's a big deal.
I think that's fine. I mean, of all the conversation that we've had tonight, the thing that I'm struggling with the most is the presentation to the county commissioners talking exactly, well, why are you going from 16, and five of those you're not even going to include anymore, to really 11, and now you're up here. And so there's got to be a very cohesive way of telling that story, and I think if we were to notify property owners, I don't know if we could get all of the property owners.
There's a lot.
That's why I think having it available to the public, the advertising and the paper, we could have this map or a map like this in the paper rather than advertising and sending a notice to every property owner, to have something like this showing that, I think would be actually
highlighting some of the key ridges that have a lot of private property
and
around
then
them.
With the opportunity that if you see something that you think might affect you, to call staff or to attend the meeting. That's, I think, probably makes sense.
We need to be sure. We need to be sure in our wording that people understand this is not something we're doing. It's state statute.
Right.
We're interpreting state statute as it applies to Transylvania County. This is not something that we've cooked up and come up with on our own. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the statute hadn't changed, and we're changing the map.
We are changing the map.
Yeah. No, I understand where you're coming from.
Would advertising with the map satisfy you? We would have it online. We would have it Transylvania Times.
But my concern is like me in Macon County.
Right. I get it.
I don't see the Macon County papers. I don't get a notice.
How many property owners are we talking about? I mean, how big of an undertaking would this be?
About 300.
It's very difficult, or is it difficult to see, to identify where we are on some of these places?
We know that.
I mean, I'm assuming this line that comes through here is 64.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But where is 276? Where is
276?
Right here. Okay, but it's not labeled.
No.
That's what I'm struggling with. Every time I look at the map, I'm like, oh, okay, this is 64. Where the hell is 276? Where is
I'll label the rest for you.
That needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
That's just, something I struggle with on this all the way through. Where am I when I look at some of this? Where's Crab Creek Road? Where's Pickens Highway?
Thank you. That can be addressed. That can be addressed. And we can take out half a page ad in Transylvania Times. I think that one given up has got twice as big as this. So
how much is a half page ad?
$200-$300.
Would it not be cheaper to mount a notice?
How much were the floodplain letters that were sent out? I'm sorry, I can't say my name.
We sent out postcards, not letters.
We did.
We sent out postcards.
It still costs the same amount as a letter.
Yeah. It was just easier to format and have everything.
If we do that approach, to me, I agree with Mac. I think the most effective approach is to contact those property owners that are affected. If you're going to spend as much or more to do an advertisement in the paper, why don't we contact those property owners? I think, to me, that's when we go to the commissioners, that was a more thorough effort. To vet out issues before we present to them. You could have someone in Mac's case that doesn't show up until it's through our process and at the commissioner's table, or later that shows up and blames us all for
I think Mac's point's spot on.
I mean, it's a major change. It's not like one area and three properties.
But it shouldn't be a major change from the standpoint that if somebody bought a mountain ridge, what they're going to probably do is put their home on it. And two-story home is going to be under 40 feet. So, I don't think most people would have an expectation of doing anything other than residential. Residential, by nature of the height, would not be a problem. So, is that overkill then to try to reach everybody in case they had this thought that they were going to put a condo up there or they're going to put a tower? They can still put a tower, but it's going to have to go through a variance process. Planning board gets to have public input. You can say, all right, tower is fine, but we're going to request that it's 150, or you lower it slightly so that it's not going to be as obtrusive, monopole versus a lattice. They still can do that. So, have we taken something by not sending them a notice.
It's just always been a sore spot for me to realize that.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, what's the...
Mark, you remember all that hubbub that they got into over in Buncombe County when that guy built that house on Bowcatcher Mountain, and they required him to take part of his house down? That went all the way to court on that one. I mean, that one got serious there.
Andy, do you have a preference?
I just want us, when we go to the board, to have all everything covered, so they won't question that the public can handle.
Steve, you want to add anything to this?
I'm fine either way, but I'm always kind of on the side of government moves too slowly anyway, so if we can do it next month, I think that would be better.
Can I make a suggestion? And that is maybe a little bit of a compromise here. We go through, we work on a map, to Kinsey's point, in terms of labeling larger. We advertise the meeting saying that we are working on this. We come back with an exact number of parcels that would be affected. Take public input. It's not a public hearing. It's just public input. Let them see the process. We come up with definition for Dunn's Rock that I think you all can agree on. We make sure that the statute, we've incorporated that. And then at that point, you guys say, text is good, map's good. We still are concerned that we want to make sure public will know how many. And we can even have a draft of what that letter would look like. And then at the meeting, you say, we still want you to do that. And that would be April, and that's fine.
Well, and even if they were notified before it goes to the commissioners, I mean, as long as they have a chance to
see.
To get in front of the train before it runs over.
I'm fine with postcards. I mean, I'm fine with a postcard notifying them that their property, this ordinance affects their property, and have them call or come to our meeting with questions. It doesn't have to be, a huge production necessarily. Just something to let them know.
Okay. But I'm saying the postcard notification will let you know how many parcels there are at the next meeting.
That's not.
And then you guys come back and say, yeah, that sounds like a plan. You've got it executed.
Okay.
Bob,
you
okay?
Yeah,
that's fine.
Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Good. All right. So we will pick that one up as old business next month. So
anything else that we need to cover on that?
I think that when you all look line by line at the ordinance, it helps. And so I don't know if you want to take the time to go through tonight, or if that is something that you would like to do with the public here, so that they can also read it with you and see what it says. But I think it was very helpful for the process to have you all as a group go through the red line version together to say that clarifies things a lot, or that's good that it's now within our purview instead of the county commissioners, or did you mean to say da-da-da-da-da, So I think it's helpful to work together as a group for that. But it also shows process. And so that may be a good thing to do at the next meeting.
Can we dedicate the next meeting, do our best to...
That's all that we...
To keep, other stuff off, and we'll dedicate it to the Mountain Ridge Ordinance and make some of that progress?
Done.
Okay.
Done. I just question us going through for the first time line by line with people here. It helps me, because then I truly understand the ordinance. And I might now pick up on something on my own.
It is 8:15. Do you want to?
I think we talked about major issues. I think we've got mapping. I think we've got to deal with how do we market. It's really a marketing piece is what you're talking about. I think that if you all would agree that red line strikeout is good to go through, but you can just say section 2.6, any questions?
Yeah.
Section 2.6, any questions? You don't have to read every line. It's just, and you might even just say this section, section 2, not even every subsection. But I think Joy's point is she'd like to go through and make sure that everybody is good. We don't need to, if there's a matter of putting a capital D or a lowercase d, everybody agree on that.
Let me know if you see any of those before the next meeting.
Yeah. So we will have as much as we can, unless something comes up, dedicated to just this. And we will then have the number of parcels. We will have map. And on the number of parcels, have a draft, postcard, letter, notice, something just saying your property is considered to have this feature. Identify it. And then if you have any questions, please contact me.
Sounds good. Everyone okay with that?
So is it going to be a meeting for comment?
Yes.
I think advertise in the paper. Have Kaylin just put an advertisement in the paper saying that Planning Board is working on revisions to 1983 ordinance. We know that there are changes. Anybody that is interested in learning more about this or concerned, show up.
Yeah, wherever your piece.
Would the public be able to ask questions line item as we
as long as the board is okay with that, if we're going to invite them here to see the process, participate in the process, I would advocate allowing them to ask questions.
That's what you've done
along the way as well. So this is a bit different in that it is a state document, more so than the sign ordinance was. It was more of a local document. This is, again, as I mentioned before, I know I beat this to death, but this is a state law that we've taken and broken down to make it look like our own ordinances and applied it to Transylvania County. How much leeway are we going to have with changes?
We're good.
I mean,
to make the changes that we'll have, we'll be fine. We will have that as we look at the changes for Dunn's Rock and how we do that. We will know what changes we can make. Mm-hmm. So that's.
I think our. Like, our hands are going to be tied. We can't decide, you know, let's make it 700 feet, not 500 feet, because that's a state arise. You know, there's a lot of this here that our hands are tied that we can't change anyway, because it's a state law.
But we're explaining it in a way that people can understand it.
Exactly. And we're taking that state law and breaking it down, and what this does, tailors it to how that state law affects Transylvania. Yeah. And I think if we explain that,
we will have that
as well. All right. Okay. Everyone okay with moving on? All right. Item 8, new business, planning director update.
Yeah, I've got several things real quickly. Tuesday morning, county commissioners also approved us to go out to a request for a proposal, find contractors that might be interested in renovating, rehabbing 3 scattered site homes for rehabilitation to bring them up to code. This is part of a grant that we applied for. Joy has done a phenomenal job of putting together the request for proposal, working with Land Discovery Regional Council. Well, actually, a subcontract now with them through Karen Kina. But moving forward, this is a $165,000 grant we've got, and we're moving forward with it.
Do you know any general contractors who would like to have an opportunity to bid on it? Please send them our way. It helps the low-income individuals within our county.
Next thing, wayfinding signs. That was a grant that we got through ARC. $25,000 from ARC, $25,000 match from TDA, Tourism Development Authority. We've identified with the money, that $50,000, 11 signs that can be installed Nine of those signs will all look similar to the city of Brevard, except that little logo, the seal that shows the courthouse top in Brevard. It actually will be a slightly different courthouse. It will say Transylvania County. But we're putting these signs in. They'll be installed in areas to highlight for visitors how to come into Brevard, to Rosman, McCoxaway, to Gorges, Cedar Mountain, DuPont, and then back around to Brevard in different place. So the project.
Don't send any more to DuPont.
Well, I tell you, we got a letter from Gorges, and they said they love this, and anything DuPont doesn't want, we will pay. So
we'll give them.
The county commissioners last year budgeted $50,000. To support community centers, and this is actually an effort that is the result of a comprehensive plan and looking at how do we build community centers. Caleb has really been the one that has been the driver on this part of a grant where commissioners have given staff, county manager and staff, the ability to have three components. One is we are going to try to install free Wi-Fi at eligible community centers. That's part of it. The second would be for safety health and public safety. It's a $2,500 grant, and there would be four of those. And then there are two $7,500 grants that would be for major improvements. They're matching grants, 10% match, but we're really excited and pushing that out right now to the community centers. Kaylin is the one that's doing a lot of that. Not a lot, is doing the work on that. R5800, you're going to hear more about that. It's a North Carolina Department of Transportation project going from North Caldwell Street, following Broad all the way up to Food Matters. And where? Food Matters, the grocery store. It's inside the city's jurisdiction, but because we are staff, Joy and I are staff for the Transylvania Transportation Advisory Committee, we've actually been very engaged with that, as well as the Fiscal Force intersection, as well as the project going from the Fiscal Force intersection all the way up to Avery Creek. But R5800 is looking at making Broad Street four lanes, not five. It would be right turn only. And they are looking at including its strategic intersections, roundabouts that will do two things. One, it will be traffic calming, but the intent is to actually move people through that section faster. Roundabouts are known, they are proven to actually move traffic faster. Even though you're going slower, you're moving distance further quicker. And so that's something that's coming up. We'll share more with you when we have that.
I think it's people worked up like a roundabout. We don't have to do it.
The first roundabout's going to be installed.
5,000 people again.
The first roundabout's going to be installed this summer when the Acosta connector is completed. There will be a roundabout at Acosta Road, and I think once people get that, they're going to really say it makes sense. The number of accidents go down significantly. People move through them faster if the design is appropriate for the volume of traffic. And if there is an accident, the accidents tend to be less severe because they are sideswiped rather than T-boned, which makes a huge difference.
Well, what's key on that? They don't have barricades where you can't just drive straight through.
So, a couple of other things. Last October, we were working with the city of Brevard to have a joint meeting with the city, and I would argue that we need to include the Transportation Advisory Committee as well. And I sent Daniel an email earlier this week saying, would that be something to look at in April or May? It looks like April will be the follow-up on the Ridgetop Wall, so I'm going to probably push towards May, but are you as a new board Is that something that you're amenable to? Would you like to pursue that still, or is that something you don't need to?
I think it's helpful.
Yeah.
The whole main purpose is just to coordinate, right?
What are they doing? What are we working on? What are things that we should be looking at together? So forth.
Mark, let me ask you this. I'm not opposed to meeting, having a joint meeting, but is that not something that we can handle either with staff or having the ward leadership sit down and talk rather than engaging everybody? I don't mind engaging everybody, but do we want to spend a meeting doing that if we can do it in a smaller setting?
It's up to you. Last time we had this, everybody said this has really been a great meeting. We need to do it again. And we were targeting the October, and then it just gets put down.
Yeah.
So it's up to you as a board.
Okay.
The staff is meeting.
Yeah.
So we're engaged. We're doing that.
We're engaged, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're engaged. Is there value for you collectively as a board to sit down and have discussion with another board? And
the next ordinance that we were going to look at is the Watershed Protection Ordinance, potentially. And that
staff would recommend.
And that is tied directly to the city of Brevard. Okay. So it may be worth talking about Watershed Protection Ordinance with the City of Brevard Planning Department.
It's in our jurisdiction, but water supply comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It runs through the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
If y'all are okay with it as a board, I'm fine with meeting as a board. I don't have any reservations with that. I just thought if we can be more effective and move along with our agenda while still accomplishing that.
My observation, having done this many times over the years, is they're good meetings.
Yeah.
And they add dialogue and a better understanding for really the board members, because I can convey some things. Usually what happens is board members will say, Burroughs, you really weren't sharing a lot of stuff with us. And it's not so much that it was intentional, it's just that there's a lot of give and take in those conversations that I think is beneficial.
That watershed protection ordinance would be of interest to the Salt and Water Board. That affects agriculture.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll target May, but it's not definite yet. It's not a definite. All right. Two more items.
Let me know when you get to looking at dates in May, because I'm going to be going to get part of the first.
Okay. This piece that's going around right now, we'll let you know.
Okay.
Is part of our work plan for next year. 2020 census will be coming up. This will be the fourth census that I will have worked on for Transylvania County. Everything that we've heard is that we're not going to see the same level of effort from the federal government. And the concern is, without that, if we don't have as many people counted as possible, we lose out on revenue. It's just pure and simple. We're trying to figure out what can we do to increase the number of people. I've talked to the county manager, she to the commissioners, and I think what we'd like to do is over the next year and a half is engage you as a board and try to get ideas of how do we promote the census, how do we use our community centers as a vehicle to help get out the vote, not the vote, but in the case of this, it would be census enumeration. I said vote, I'm sorry. It's census enumeration and making sure that we count as many people as possible. In past years, the last two censuses, we actually sent letters to people that have zip codes, own property in Transylvania County, but have zip codes outside. And we were just saying, here's the benefit to Transylvania County, and please show that you are a resident of the county. And we know that there are a lot of people Over 50% of the parcels in Transylvania County are owned by people that have zip codes outside of the county.
Okay.
And so I would be willing to wager of those people that have homes here, they're probably here more than 6 months in a day. I mean, if they're here 6 months in a day, they should show Transylvania. If you're a Floridian, the concern is, I don't want to pay income tax in North Carolina.
Right.
They shouldn't line up. There should not be a consequence. But if you are that individual. But anyway, just make you aware of, we'll be coming to you this next year, and one of the agenda items periodically is going to be census talk about that.
And think about the amount of census data that we use in our comprehensive plan.
Yes.
Had a great deal of, it's not just counting the number. You get a lot more information than that out of the census as well. That would be beneficial to us.
Last thing that I have for you tonight is there is a training course in Asheville. There are multiple training courses, but if anybody is interested in attending the training on May 10th in Asheville, it would be great. And we will provide whatever funding we need to make sure that we cover the cost of you going to that. So just make you aware of that. That is May 10th. And so if you are interested in learning more, let Kaylin, Joy, or me know about that. About your interest. Do you have anything else? Kaylin, do you have anything else? We covered a lot. We've got several things that we're working on in terms of grant administration and following up that I haven't talked about. But there's a fair amount in the office right now. That's all I have, sir.
All right. Do we have any other new business anyone wants to bring up?
I will say I'm looking at Candy West there, and that working for you. Just things that they pointed out shouldn't do, and kind of how to get some more ideas going again.
Good. We'll put you down in tentative.
All right. Anything else before we move on from new business? All right. Let's see. Let's have to count this. Out of nine, public and board member comments. I'm a slow Roman. These liberals. Roman liberals here. Can we start putting nines instead of I-X? I had to stop and think.
The other thing to do would just be put an X after the one that we've done.
That's
how I do it.
I'll just go through and
put... You need a pencil, Daryl.
Yeah, I'll just go through and put a real number.
You know that, they do it in the Super Bowl, too.
Yes, I know. But we're so high in the Super Bowl, I'm good on Roman numerals till 10, and then it's for South. And they're 50 something now. I can't even tell you. It's L, Super Bowl L. All right. Public and board member comment. We don't have any public still, so I'll open the board. If any board members have a comment?
I haven't heard
any
member yet.
Yes, welcome. I thought about that earlier. Bob Tooney, welcome to the board. It's good to have you. We look forward to serving with you. I know with your background, you'll bring a wealth of knowledge and understanding to us.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I hope so. A lot of it would be more from a technical background. I was with NRCS in this county for 28 years, but I gave them 37 and a half. And so... I guess I come from it more from a technical perspective, but I've got a lot to learn, and I want to try to help out. But I've got a lot of reading and studying to do.
I know you served on several boards. Have you ever done any time with the planning board?
No,
it's never been on the planning board.
I'm on the soil board.
Okay.
Actually, I like the position on soil and water.
Yeah.
I'll just do what I can to help out.
Well, we can already tell you diving in with both feet and be a good help to us. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything to share? Add, Mac, you want to say anything?
Good.
I remembered something.
Yes.
Now that we have a chair and vice chair, we will get a new updated roster out to you guys.
Okay. And maybe try to get a, if we can get all members here at the next meeting, a picture.
Yeah. We've been trying that for 6 months.
Well,
I see
it in 2 months.
The only member we're missing is Lauren, right?
Tonight.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Our next meeting, February and March, the days are always the same. So the next meeting is March 15th.
March 15th. Okay. So all right.
The thing is, all I got to do is come across the hall from one meeting to the next
one. You have to work out, huh?
One and go to the next.
I just want to say thank you for putting your trust in me, for being foolish enough to be chair. You can always feel free to reach out to me. I'll be glad to. I will get my contact information emailed out to you all. And feel free to reach out to me anytime you have any questions, concerns, you want to talk about anything. I will be more than happy to talk to you. And with that said,
move adjourned.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No. Your comments on the ordinance, the map, and public involvement. Very good.
Thank you, staff. Not that. Did not need to give that.
I will write off that. No E yet, but I didn't hear me.
I have mixed feelings about it. Said I have mixed feelings about it. At least some benefits, and then there's quite a few drawbacks too. What do you think?
I don't know if physically it makes sense.
Yeah.
By the time you build a school, by the time you buy a property and build a school, you're going to be surprised that you'll be looking. And this is without athletic money. I'm talking about building a school. By the time you build a school, you're going to be working for $60-$70 million.
No, they're
going to
spend it.
That's
what
they're going to spend on the high school.
And this bar reference, I think that's this.
Just about every bit of retirement papers anyway. Of some sort.
I've always said, except under just an extreme circumstance, I would never vote for one of them. Just because. Well, the whole purpose of having the school board is to have the school system actually be
involved. Yeah, I'm going to be back. Okay, from seeing on the inside, they need to be made to answer.
You know, when you look at
the school board, needs to be made to answer for the community.
Yes.
Far too long, and they drop kids up there and they hide behind them instead of being fiscally responsible. And that's where I always go ahead.
Yeah.
I was like, I expect you to be fiscally responsible because you're dealing with the most precious resource the same way I expect our county departments to be fiscally responsible. But they want to drop kids out and hide behind them. It's like, and I can tell you this one, too. We gave them over the years.